this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak, and hopefully these thoughts will benefit you as they have benefited me. It's been something I've thought about, something that's helped me grow to strengthen my faith and to just keep going. If you would turn to Numbers chapter 13, we're going to be looking at a familiar story from there, and then making applications from that. While you're turning there, Mark Twain once said, whenever you find yourself on the side of a majority, it might be time to pause and think. Recently, I was driving home from Auburn with a couple of my friends, actually last weekend, and we were debating which way to go. And Auburn is south of here, as many of you know, and so we decided that, well, the obvious way to go home would be to go north. And so we went north on Interstate 85, and then about 20 minutes into the trip, someone was like, do you think we should check the GPS? And you're like, that might be important. I mean, we all three were like, kind of like, no, we got this. We're south of Athens, so we need to go north to go to Athens. And so about that time, one of my other friends pulled out the GPS, and the GPS told us we needed to go south. And so it was a time where the majority, all three of us, agreed that, hey, we needed to go north, but in reality, we really needed to pause and reflect, look at the GPS to tell us actually which direction to go. If you're in Numbers chapter 13, it's quite a familiar story for most of us. This morning we're going to be looking at lessons from a majority. If you know this story, the 10 spies, Moses sends out 12 spies to spy the land of Canaan. The Israelites are gotten out of Egypt. They're getting ready to go into the land that God's promised them. And they send out 12 spies. And then in verses 27 through 33, we have the spies' report. And it reads, then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land to which they had spied out, saying, the land which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak there came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. So we see the children of Israel come back with a report of, just like, the land is good. The land's flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants there. The people are strong. The land devours the inhabitants, and the cities are fortified. So for a little time this morning, let's look at this story and let's make applications for us in our life. First of all, let's look at what the spies didn't have. Many times we look at something and say, okay, here's what happened there. And so we can take a lesson from that. Let's look at what the spies didn't have. If you look at what they didn't have, the spies didn't have faith. God had promised them, as we'll see in a few minutes, and God had promised to Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him there. And then Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18 through 21, it says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. If you look at a map, the river of Egypt is down in the south. And the river Euphrates is up in the north. So it's a large piece of land he's promising Abraham. And these spies have just gotten to that land to take it. Not only had the Lord promised them to Abraham, he had promised it to them. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1 and 2, It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." The Lord told them when He sent them out, He's like, "I'm giving you this land." And then in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 16, the Lord is just getting ready to send Moses to the children of Israel, and He says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey." And if you remember what the spies said when they came back, they said, "It is truly a land that flows with milk and honey." The Lord had promised that He would bring them into the land, that He would give them the land. However, right as they were about to enter the land, they looked around them and saw the people of the land. They saw the walled cities, and their faith faltered. They had also seen the wonders of the Lord. They had seen what the Lord had done to them to get them out of Egypt. They had seen the plagues. And then two chapters earlier, they had complained about not having meat in the wilderness, and the Lord fed them with quail. And then in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 20 through 23, "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word." The Lord had just told Moses, "I will make you a nation. I will destroy all of them and make you a nation mightier than them." And then Moses pleads with the Lord, and the Lord says He's going to pardon them. And then He goes on to say, "But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men which have seen My glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put Me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded My voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of them that rejected them see it." So we see the Lord had promised them. He had promised them to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had promised it to them. He had told them right before they would go into the land that He would give them the land. And not only had He done that, He had showed them wonders, showed them mighty signs which would strengthen, which should have strengthened their faith, brought them out of Egypt. But yet, their faith faltered. We also see the spies did not have courage. It is said that courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something is more important than fear. These people had a choice. When they went into the land, they had a choice to either be courageous, in the sense of there's something more important than fearing the people of the land. They were told to have courage. When Moses sent them out, in verses 31 through 33... He tells them to, the people are of great stature, but yet to have courage. And then in verse 17 through 20, if you look in around verse 19 of chapter 13, the last phrase is, now be of good courage. He tells them to have courage. Have courage. However, when you look at the 10 spies, from the definition we're using, that courage is not the absence of fear, but the judgment that something else is more important than the fear. If you look at it, the spies made a judgment. They made a judgment that the people of the land, it wasn't worth going into the land. The fear, they made the judgment that fear was more important than what the Lord had told them to do, what the Lord had promised to them. However, Joshua and Caleb tried to strengthen the people, tried to give them faith, tried to let them know that they could do it. However, they were of the minority, and sadly they refused to listen. Then Caleb quieted the people in verse 30 of chapter 13. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome." And then in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 14 it says, "If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And however, if you look at verse 10, We see the people's response to the Joshua and Caleb trying to stir them up with courage, telling them, the Lord's with you. We see the people picked up stones to try to stone them. And earlier in verse 3, they wanted to return to Egypt. They said, let's elect a new leader and return to Egypt. They had forgotten what the Lord had done for him. They made a decision, even with Joshua and Caleb telling them that they could do it and to have courage and that the Lord was with them. They made the decision that fear was more important to them. So as the story continues, let's look at some of the things the spies did have. Or things the spies did. The spies didn't have faith and courage. Instead, the spies became distracted. In verses 27 and 29, we've already read it, but it says, they see the land and says, it truly does flow with milk and honey. However, and then say the word but. But, there are giants in the land. The cities are fortified. It's kind of like, this is kind of too big for us to tackle. Because they lost their faith, they didn't look at the beyond the physical. They didn't look at what God had done for them or what God could do for them. They looked at the physical and saw they were outnumbered. They were outsized. The cities were bigger. Cities were well fortified. It would have taken, in physical terms, it would have taken some pain, some toil, some struggle to take this land. Henry Ford once said, obstacles are those frightful things which you see when you take your eyes off your goals. So we see the things of the land becoming an obstacle because they took their eyes off of the goal. They took their eyes off of the promise which had been given to them. And because of that, the spies angered the Lord. In verse 11 and 12 of chapter 14, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? And so then he goes on to say, I will strike them with the pestilence and make a nation out of you. But we see the Lord is like, I've done all these things for these people. He's led them out of Egypt. Again, he's given them the quail in the wilderness. He's taken care of them. However, if you look at the people's response, the sway of the majority took over. The majority, the two spies that said, we can take it, were drowned out by the 10 that said, we can't. The people are too strong. The land, the cities are fortified. It's just, we can't do it. And they took the courage and took the strength out of the other people. And because they did this, they angered the Lord and caused Him to punish. And the spies brought punishment on themselves because of that. The Lord punishes the people in verse 36 and 37 of Numbers chapter 14. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land, died by the plague before the Lord. And then it goes on to say, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went out to spy the land. So the two men that had the courage, the two men that had the faith to stand up in the midst of the assembly when 10 voices were saying, we can't do it. And the congregation was like, now we really can't do it. The two men that had the courage to stand up and say, we can do it, were the ones that would make it to the promised land. And because of the spies' view, the spies believed that the benefits would not outweigh the work. The Lord had promised them the land. It would be a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It would be good for them. They would have enjoyed it. But yet the benefits of taking that land, of having the land, did not outweigh the work they would have had to do. It tells them they went to a land flowing with milk and honey, but then it says, nevertheless. It's kind of like, yes, it's a great land, and everyone's happy when they say that, and then they say, but, or nevertheless. All the people of the land are strong, and as we talked, they saw the people of the land They looked at their different paths and they didn't look again beyond the physical. They saw the good land which would have been fruitful for them. They would have enjoyed the land. And God had promised them the land and they were excited about the land until they saw what they had to overcome. What they had the giant. Suddenly the good land that they was so close to them, they were right at the border getting ready to go in. Suddenly it became out of reach. Something that wasn't possible because of their response of the majority. And then we have the application for us. In Romans 15 and verse 4, it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We can take some lessons from these 10 spies and give us courage, give us comfort, and yet strengthen our hope. So some applications for us. Where is our trust and faith? The spies' trust and faith was not in God. It was in the physical, because when they looked at it, they thought they couldn't do it. In 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7 and 8, King Sennacherib has come up against Hezekiah and has easily outnumbered Hezekiah, and Hezekiah is feeling hopeless. And the people are feeling hopeless, but Hezekiah consults with the leaders, and then he goes back and tells the people, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him." And someone might look at that and be like, how is he counting? Because we're outnumbered. Just looking at the physical numbers, we're outnumbered. They have us surrounded. But then the next verse tells us where it came from. "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So we see the people had their focus and trust in the right spot. The people put their trust in God. And while the numbers, in physical terms, the numbers looked overwhelming or even demoralizing. Sometimes it's like, how are we going to get out of this? Hezekiah strengthened the people by reminding them that the battle is the Lord's and the Lord's arm is stronger than the arm of the flesh. And so then in Matthew 17 and verse 20, the disciples have come to, or Jesus has come to the disciples. They've had trouble throwing out a demon-possessed man. And so Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say unto you, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So all these people needed was a little faith in the right direction. Jesus tells his apostles, if they had a little faith, they could move the mountain. They needed a little faith. With a little faith in the right direction, a little faith in God, the Israelites could have taken the land, relying on God to fight the battles. This seemed like overwhelming physical terms. As Joshua told them, their arm has departed from them. Their strength has departed from them. They are our bread. Because they had the arm of the flesh. Meanwhile, the Lord was with them. Do you have the faith to keep going, even when you fall? The Israelites seemed to get distracted and suddenly they fell. It can be hard sometimes to keep our focus and keep our faith, and we see what seems like overwhelming odds. But we need to remember that with us can be the arm of the Lord. And while we may see the arm of the flesh as something to hold on to, something to desire, something to want as strength, we need to remember to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And then also, as the spies did, we do have a promise and a reward. The Lord had promised them, promised to their fathers that He would give them the land. He had told them He would give them the land. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 17 through 19, it says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Because of God's plan and what Jesus has done for us in the following verses, we do have that hope. We have a hope that strengthens our faith. It gives us an anchor to stabilize it. If you look down in verses 13 through 15, it says God made the promises to Abraham, and then it says it took patience before he received the promises. So sometimes it's going to take patience. For the spies, it may have took patience to actually be like, okay, this may take some time to take the land, and it's not something we're just going to be able to go in and have. It may have taken some patience from them. Sometimes we're like Peter in Matthew 14, and verse 29 through 31, where Jesus comes walking out on the water, and Peter sees him and is like, Lord, command me to come out. And so Peter goes out to him, and he's walking on the water. And then what does Peter do? He looks around and sees the waves, sees the storm, and then he begins to sink. And what does Jesus tell him? Oh, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Eventually we'll be like the spies, and while we may have obstacles that block our path, we need to remember to keep our focus. Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, we're told, Paul says, For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, what we're working for, the promise we're working for, the promise we're running for, the promise we're striving to get, when we get there, our struggles of this life will soon be forgotten. And like Israel, when they got to the land, the struggles were forgotten. The struggles of having to conquer the land, of having to worry about the people in the land, when they conquered the land, their struggles were forgotten. Can you pull up the song, please? There's a song in our books, Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All. In a minute we'll sing this song, but think about our lives. We're constantly bombarded. Our nation is constantly getting worse. We're constantly bombarded with sin, and sometimes it can be hard to want to run. Sometimes we get distracted like the spies. We look around us and see, man, seems like it's just so overwhelming. We may not be well-liked at school or work. We may be treated differently at school or work because of our decisions we make to who we serve or who we follow. But we need to remember, like the spies did, that we need to overcome the obstacles. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Let's sing all three verses.